Here's the thing about adventure. It's never going to come knocking on your door. You got to get out there and track it down. And there's no better way to find it than behind the wheel of a 2024 Toyota Tacoma. With trail-hungry power, legendary capability, and head-turning style, the Tacoma is not for the sedentary. 326 horsepower, 465 pound-feet of torque. And with all the toughness you could ask for, the Toyota Tacoma is the adventure you've been missing. Toyota, let's go places.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. By Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Sharks have one more chance. They got to win this faceoff. Wennberg will step in with a new stick against Trocheck. He wins the draw. Granlund has it, sends it forward. It's tipped ahead. Will Smith can't get it. We're down to 4:05 left. Thrown to the goal. Smith behind the net. Centering fade off of the stick of Wennberg. And the Rangers will win it. Close. Will Smith coming awfully close on that play, but no cigar for the Sharks. And tonight is one of those games where they're going to look back and wonder what might have been.
Yes.
Because of the opportunities that were missed that were either stopped by Shesterkin or hit the post. And the loss of composure in the middle period is really what changed the frame of the game.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? It is a Friday morning in the middle of November. The San Jose Sharks are on the East Coast, and they're coming off of a difficult loss against a Rangers team that is maybe better than their record, but so are the San Jose Sharks. And San Jose gave themselves a chance last night only to not be able to handle the pushback from New York in the second period. Specifically, San Jose trailed 3-1 late, gave themselves a chance to get back into it, scored a late goal to cut the deficit to 1, and had a chance to tie late in the game. They were unable to do so. They lose in regulation by a final of 3-2. Now, if we look at the San Jose Sharks as of lately, they had a win against Columbus, a loss against Minnesota, a win against New Jersey, a shootout loss against Philadelphia, a loss in regulation against New York, and then we will see what happens in Pittsburgh on Saturday. But I'd like to point out that this is more of what I have been hoping for, not the loss, win, 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 loss, win, win, loss. Like, you're not just streaking one way or the other. And yes, the Sharks entering last night's game had gone 5-2-1 in their last 8, and now it's 5-3-1 in their last 9, which is still better than they've been, you know, for the majority of the past few seasons. But I think it's important to note that we're kind of getting a feel of this back and forth from win to loss to getting a point. You know, these are what we want to see from the San Jose Sharks, where they have the ability to rectify issues from one night to the next. Now, you don't want to always be relying on your goalie to stand on his head and have an incredible performance like we saw on the Sunday night game against New Jersey, but you'll take it when it's there, and it's also a performance where you can walk away with a win. And in the game against Philadelphia, yes, they came roaring down from a 3-0 deficit to get themselves back into the game, and you don't want to get behind in a game like that, but you did see them figure out a way to come back and get points. And in this game last night, they jumped out to a 1-0 lead. And we talked about it on the NBC pre- and post-game show in the intermission coverage. I said, here comes New York. They had a bad first period. They are going to jump down the San Jose Sharks' throats, and they're going to take it to them because while New York is not playing like Winnipeg right now, they have a lot of top-end talent on their roster. There's a reason they were as good as they were last year, and they came roaring out in the second period, and the Sharks were not ready for it. The Sharks actually looked a little gassed in the second period, which I thought was surprising considering they were coming off of 2 days rest, and while they were traveling, that's short travel. You know, this is New Jersey to Philly to New York is not exactly, long travel. In fact, if you want a really good comparison for it, it's about 100 miles from Philadelphia to Manhattan, and it's about 90 miles from San Francisco to Sacramento. So, yeah, it's pretty darn close to that short amount of distance. And, yeah, if we were in the EPL, that's the longest trip in the league, but this is North America. Things are spread out. And so for the San Jose Sharks, 2 days, short travel, playing better hockey, going up against a good team. The first period, they had more opportunities than they did New York in terms of their shots on goal. They were moving the puck. They were being smart offensively. They were creating space on the outside. It was what I was hoping to see more of in the second period. And in the second period, the Sharks played a very reactionary game of hockey. And I appreciated the first period because the Sharks were dictating the terms. They had New York on their heels. They had New York being the reactionary team. They had New York a little bit just overall, you know, a little bit confused as to what was going on. And they didn't seem to be responding well to the Sharks puck movement. They didn't seem to be, you know, really locked in on what San Jose was going to do. And then in the second period, the narrative completely flipped. And New York was able to move through the neutral zone with speed. They were able to quickly move the puck. San Jose was the reactionary team. They were pinned in their own end. And when that happens time and time and time again, a team like New York is going to break through. And eventually they did. They're down 1-0. Then suddenly New York ties it 1-1. After that, you have a situation in which San Jose has a breakaway 3-on-1 and they don't even get a shot off. Now, that is the definition of not taking advantage of your opportunities. We talk consistently about the need for teams to be opportunistic. The Sharks were not opportunistic last night. If you get a 3-on-1 breakaway, you need to score. I feel like if other teams have a 3-on-1 breakaway against San Jose, you're going to lose. It was a 1-on-1 breakaway the other night to Matvei Michkov against Philadelphia that scored a big goal that ended up being a difference maker in that, you know, shootout win for them. If you have a breakaway, if you have the man advantage, you need to be able to take advantage in that situation to give yourself a better chance to win. San Jose was unable to do so. They had an earlier odd man rush where they were not able to get a shot off on a 3-on-1. I don't know what's happening there. They had a breakaway with Barclay Goodrow. He did not hit his shot. That would have been a big boost for San Jose to get themselves back into that game a little bit sooner. But we saw these things consistently over the course of the game, San Jose not being able to take advantage of them. And listen, I understand that the New York roster is a lot better, but we have to also look at, here's what good teams do. They take advantage of situation. Here's what bad teams do. They don't take advantage of the situation. And until you are at a point where you're able to maximize and be opportunistic in these instances, you're not going to walk away with as many wins as you should. Now, last night, San Jose, to their credit, after playing a really, really bad second period, it could have gotten worse. You know, that's something that I take into consideration as well. We have seen them have bad moments. It got worse against Minnesota. That's the most recent one where they were not able to handle really the overall momentum of a game. But we look back at the earlier game against Winnipeg, and Winnipeg is just gutting everyone right now. They lost 8-3 in that game. They couldn't handle the rush. They had the 7-3 loss against Vegas. Vegas is a very good team, and San Jose was still finding their game early in the year. You know, and since that point, in the overtime win against Utah, even though they did fall behind, it was still a good, they didn't let the game get away from them completely. They were just not ending up on the right side of things, but they came back and won that in overtime. Then you had a quality win against the Kings, a quality win against Chicago. You get into the month of November, you fall, but a game you're right there with against Vancouver. In fact, you tie it up late. You think you're going to get a point. Can't get the, you know, point out of that one because you give up a late game-winning goal or game-losing goal from the Sharks' perspective. Okay. And then the next game, you get a 2-1 win in overtime over Columbus. Then you have that game against Minnesota, which is the most recent one where you're not able to handle the momentum of a game. And then we see the New Jersey win, the Philadelphia shootout loss. Yeah, even though they were down 3-0 against Philadelphia, the Sharks always felt like they were in the game. I will, again, credit Philadelphia for being opportunistic. And then last night's game, they didn't feel like they ever got the game, let the game get away from them. The momentum in the second period where they couldn't handle what New York was bringing, that was something we saw against Minnesota, against Vegas, against Winnipeg. I didn't like seeing that, but I will acknowledge that they didn't let the game get away from them. It's 3-1 heading into the third period. That means you've got a chance. Yes, it's not a great chance when you're on the road and at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers team that I think has great potential beyond what their record showed getting into last night, but you still gave yourselves a chance. And so the Sharks played hard to the end. Eventually, they got the late extra man attacker and they went on a power play and they were able to, you know, just make something happen. They get it down to 3-2. And then in the waning moments, they have opportunities to get a game tying goal, potentially send it to overtime. They were unable to do so, but still they gave themselves a chance. So even in a game where for one period, they didn't have the right response level to a very good team, they were still able to manage to keep themselves in the game. And that is what I am going to focus on out of this one because, yeah, we could talk about how, you know, far too often they were impatient through the neutral zone and far too often they tried to just skate through defenders, which is not always going to work. You're going up against top-level talent on that New York team. You've got to be careful with how you're managing the puck. There was a little puck watching out there from San Jose. They got caught up a few times. They just didn't manage things overall as good as they needed to. And we know they needed to be ready for that pushback against New York. And they weren't in that second period. And, you know, that's got to be something they work on in terms of their game management. But, you know, I try to focus on the areas in which they are improving. I'm not really that upset about a 3-2 loss on the road against a Rangers team. You obviously want to win, but if you told me that that was going to be the score, like, listen, if I tell you that, hey, through the first three games of a four-game road trip in New York, Philadelphia, New Jersey, Philadelphia, New York, and Pittsburgh, you're going to have 3 out of the first 5 points. That's going to be a win in New Jersey, a shootout loss in Philadelphia, and a 3-2 loss to New York. You'd have said, yeah, that makes sense. I could see that happening. And so the Sharks are, I guess, not playing to a level of expectation because you'd like them to walk away with, you know, a 500 road trip or maybe 5 out of the 8 points on this road trip. And if they do that, it would be great. But again, looking at those outcomes out of these first three games, I don't exactly think they're shocking. To be honest, the Rangers should beat the Sharks, but the Sharks gave themselves a chance. And so while we are still doing the comparison of what the Sharks were a year ago and what they are this year, if we are still doing the comparison of what they were earlier this year versus what they are now, this is improvement. And I know that improvement is not as good as 2 points, and improvement makes you want to say, oh, thank you, Ted, you work for the Sharks. But no, I have said from the start that we are looking for the improvement from the team. It's not going to be linear. It's not just going to be a straight line in an upward direction. But right now, for the Sharks to hold on and get a 1-0 win on the road, to come back and get a point out of Philadelphia, to give themselves a chance in New York, this all falls under the viewpoint of positivity. And the game against Pittsburgh coming up on Saturday is a winnable game, guys. Like, Pittsburgh is not good right now. They are 6-9-3. They have one more win than San Jose, who are 5-10-3. You know, I understand Pittsburgh still has some top-end talent. We'll get to see our good friend Erik Karlsson. But, you know, this Pittsburgh team is in no way, shape, or form some sort of, you know, incredible team right now. And San Jose has gotten a win against a good team right now against LA, so they know they can beat good teams. They gave themselves a chance against Vancouver, who's a good team right now. Yeah, they had trouble with Vegas. I think a lot of teams have had trouble with Vegas. They're 10-4-2. They had trouble with Winnipeg. Winnipeg is absolutely incredible right now. They have 30 points on the year. You know, the Sharks got a win over the Devils. The Devils are in first place in the Metro with 26 points. So the Sharks have ability. They can manage themselves in good games. It's not always going to happen, but we're starting to see the early signs of this team pointing themselves in the right direction. And I don't know what that's going to equate to at the end of this year. I would love to see somewhere in the vicinity of 30 to 35 wins, and I think they can get there. But for the time being, what we are looking at with San Jose is the fact that they are giving themselves a chance. They're not quite there yet. But again, giving themselves a chance is better than where they were at earlier points in this season and when we compare a year ago. Now, one area that I need to see more improvement from with the San Jose Sharks is their ability to get pucks on net. They need to have greater shot volume. They need to take more shots. Too often, I feel like when I'm watching them offensively, it feels like they're looking for the best shot, like they're waiting for something better to open up. It's not going to open up. And that is something that they need to rectify very, very shortly. They are not getting off enough shots, and they are giving up way too many shots. And, you know, there's one thing that I am consistently seeing. And in the first period, San Jose was a little bit more patient with the puck when they moved through the neutral zone. They were a little bit more just reserved in their game. They were not trying to hit the home run pass every single time. They were just overall better with their puck management. Second and third period, they were not as good. And if we look at what's happening, so for the Sharks, if they are getting into the O-zone, they're being a little bit too conservative with their shot volume. Like I said, you get in, you get an opportunity, you need to shoot. There was one yesterday where Randy started calling the shot before the shot came off because it seemed like such an obvious shot, and then there was hesitation. Hesitation is why a goal was not scored in that situation, in my opinion. When we look at San Jose, they are trying to do too much getting through the neutral zone. Everybody wants to play fast. Everybody wants to be like the Lightning were a few years ago. That's not where the Sharks are. So instead, they're being impatient as they move through the neutral zone. They're giving the puck up at the opposition blue line, and then suddenly the puck is coming into their own end. They're working hard to get back on defense. They're getting gassed. They're getting pinned in their own end. The puck movement is more effective from the opposition on the other side. The other side is getting shots off. Shots of high quality lead to not great rebound control, which is still going out and giving your team a chance to have another chance on net. And we're seeing first, second, and third opportunities time and time again. The defense is getting tired. You're getting, you know, pinned in your own end, and you're giving up too many shots. And San Jose is working hard, obviously, but they need to be better in that regard, because the shot volume they're giving up, it's not sustainable, right? Like, if you're giving up more than 40 shots in most games as of late, which I believe it's three of their last five, you're probably not going to win those games. And yes, you can occasionally walk away with a win like you did against New Jersey when you had a 1-0 win, but 1-0 is not a great formula in which you're taking, you know, 40-some-odd shots over the course of a game. You will have opportunities to win those games, and you may get one a year right now where you win that game. But time and time again, San Jose needs to cut down on the shot volume. And as always, you have to look at how your offense and how you're managing things through the neutral zone is going to either help you create more shot volume or cut down on the shot volume against. It all comes down to puck possession. If we talk about what the Sharks were, you know, back in the day as we're approaching the Joe Thornton celebration, but the Sharks back in the day when they were under Todd McClellan in particular, they would possess the puck in the O zone. You would see Thornton set up behind the net looking to distribute. You would see, you know, teams just kind of pinned in consistently. San Jose controlled the course of the game. They had the opposition pinned in their own end. They would move the puck. They would cycle things around. Yes, there were times where you liked more shot volume, but still, they controlled the game. The opposition was often the reactionary team. And so in that sense, you could immediately see that the Sharks were controlling things and that they were able to just dictate the terms of the game. This Sharks team is not there yet. Their lack of ozone is directly leading to counterattacks, which is leading to them being pinned in their own end. And we're seeing that time and time again. And so that's something that they need to rectify. Right now, that is a problem. And of course, there are lots of problems to rectify. I'm not saying that the Sharks are in need of being chastised for these issues. I'm just saying we have to acknowledge them for what they are right now. And what they are right now is a team that is not, they're flawed, I'll put it for lack of a better term, but they are needing to be better in certain situations. The amount of situations they need to be better in is an improvement of where they were earlier this year and compared to last year. So I do look at that as growth, but it's something that they need to fix. And when you have things that you need to fix, you need to figure out the root of the problem. You're giving up too many shots. How do you give up fewer shots? Well, you've got to be able to have more ozone time and more possession of the puck. How do you get more possession of the puck? You've got to be clean through the neutral zone. If you're clean through the neutral zone and you don't give it away, you'll get into the opposition's defensive zone, your ozone, and have opportunities to put the pucks on net. You make them the reactionary team. You pepper them with shots. You put them in situations to not have great rebound control to where you're able to keep the puck and get a second and third opportunity. I mean, that which is problematic for the Sharks, if they were able to bring that into their own game, would be good, opportunistic, and high quality for the San Jose Sharks. That is what you're hoping to see from San Jose. What happens to them is what you want them to turn into. And I certainly think it's within their, you know, capabilities, not that they will be doing it against the best teams in the NHL and that it should happen every night, but I think there should be a clear low-level understanding of, okay, guys, this is what's going on. This is what we need to figure out. And I understand and do not vilify their desire to make plays. You need to make plays in the NHL to make things happen. You need to make these, you know, just moments of brilliance to where you're going to fight through traffic and make something happen when you're trailing in a game. That's what happens when you chase a game on the road. Macklin Celebrini had a couple of moments last night where he skated through defenders, showed off the dangles, and then, you know, went on net. And okay, that I'll take that. But Macklin also needs to learn when to pick his spots, because sometimes he would just kind of skate into a couple defenders and lose the puck. And he's not the only one guilty of that. He just does it with the most flair when he skates in, because he is a high-level talent, guys. There's no denying that. But this is what we're seeing from San Jose right now. You need to watch the mistakes that they're making and put them hand-in-hand against the positives that we're seeing. So they're not letting games get away from them. They are better overall. They are giving themselves a chance in games. For the most part, they're not falling behind like they were. Late in games, they're being opportunistic and giving themselves a chance to get back into it, even if they haven't played great up to that point. These are all positives. But again, if they keep on making the big negatives, like puck management and giving up too much shot volume because they're pinned in their own end, it's not going to end well. Yeah, the 1-0 win against New Jersey, that's the one where they did a lot of things wrong and ended up with a win. You want to do a lot of things right and end up with a win. You want your formula to earn you a victory. You don't want to win in spite of your gameplay, right? You'll take it, but that's not how things go to design. Let's hear from the head coach of the San Jose Sharks, Ryan Warsawski. What went wrong in the second period?
Yeah, we mismanaged some pucks, and a good team like that will make you pay. We didn't do that in the first, and that's why we had success, but we mismanaged pucks, soft puck play, and it's in the back of our net.
Short, sweet, and to the point. That is what we consistently saw from San Jose in this game. Mismanagement of puck, even if your intentions are good, is going to lead to the opposition getting chances. And when the opposition is as talented as New York is, you are going to see them come out with a high-quality outcome. And they were able to play on a night where they were relatively off a 3-2 win against San Jose. And, you know, you might have seen some growth from San Jose's individual players. I liked what I saw out of Timothy Liljegren. I appreciate his game since he's come to San Jose. I thought that, you know, you saw Fabian Zetterlund get a goal late there at the end, fighting, and maybe that'll spark him to get his scoring rolling again. But ultimately, it can't just be about one or two players having nice nights. It's got to be everyone. It's got to be across the board. It's got to be beyond the numbers. It's got to be the entirety of the team helping you figure out how you're going to get a win in these situations. And San Jose is still trying to figure it out. We expected them to be in this situation. We're not surprised by this per se, but we can't ignore what their issues are right now. And, you know, right now it's just giving the puck away, and then you're going to do that against a good team. It's not going to end well. More from Warzo on that second period and how things got away from him.
It's a little disappointing because we had success in the first, doing it the right way with our identity, the way we need to play to win in this league. So of course it's disappointing that we go out in the second period and do the things that we do. We got to figure it out because obviously we push forward. We got a big game in Pittsburgh.
And so this is what I have been paying attention to from San Jose is what happens after these games. You know, we saw in the game against Vancouver in which they gave up a late goal. What happened when they had a similar situation the next time in a game against Philadelphia? They were able to get that game-tying goal late. They didn't concede again. They earned a point. And we've looked at late-game management from San Jose as an area of, okay, that's been an improvement. And then, you know, this is a game against New York in which we don't have a ton of comparisons for. Like, what happens when they come out on the road with a good first period? How are they going to handle that pushback from the second period opposition? And so when they are in Pittsburgh, and I know Pittsburgh is not the same team as New York, but let's see what happens. Let's see how they manage the second period. Let's see what they are able to do against a high-quality opponent, and let's see what they're able to figure out, because you want to see them be presented with similar game situations, because we know that the Sharks right now are kind of their own worst enemy, and they're going to get themselves into their own trouble. But if they are going to do so, what is their reaction to that trouble? What is their gameplay from that point on? What are the things that they do well or do not do well? And then you continue to assess. Because in this game, it's clear that if they had been better in the second period, they would have had a better chance to win. Now, granted, they did well in the third period to keep themselves in it and give themselves a chance. They did well in the first period to give themselves a lead. They have still not played a complete 60 games of hockey this year. If they can play that complete 60 minutes, you've got a better chance of walking away with a win. If you have 20 minutes that are so negative to the outcome of your game that it dictates the entirety of the game, then you need to figure that out. And that's what San Jose did last night. And I'm not saying it was just 40 minutes of brilliant hockey and 20 minutes of awful hockey, because that's not the complete story, but the second period was the difference in the game. I mean, we can't deny that that was what changed the outcome. And for San Jose, they've got to figure out, okay, how do we make sure this doesn't happen again? What do we have to do collectively to make sure we are up to the moment when the opposition comes charging down our throats? Question that I appreciated that was asked to head coach Ryan Warsawski after this game was, you know, players want to be creative, but that is sometimes leading to problems with puck management and possession. How do you manage that? He had a good answer.
Yeah, I think there's examples that we show where there's times to make plays with time and space, where you can let your skill come out and make plays and do your thing at the blue line. But there's also times where there's a D-man and Keandre Miller and Adam Fox are right in your pocket, and there's no play to be made. And we have to start realizing that really quickly, of when there's time to make plays and when there's time to not. And when there's time to fight another day, is at the end of the day, you almost play the odds, right? The odds of you going through Adam Fox and Trouba and all these good, really good players and defensemen, it's a low percentage play, and we have to understand that. And we have a young group that's learning that. We've taken steps since the beginning of the season, but we still got a ways to go here.
And I get it too. You want to be creative. You want to make something happen. And in a game where things are not going your way, you have to have a certain amount of pushback. But it's also about knowing where and how you should push back. It's always the desire to make something happen, and you have to juxtapose that with the likelihood that the play is going to work. And it's easier for me to sit on the sidelines and say, oh, well, he should not have done that. But then we also, in the same moment, will say, oh, well, look at that moment of brilliance and what they were able to pull off. And I think that's the hardest thing for NHL players to understand, is that in moments of brilliance, they are, you know, given an incredible amount of praise. And then when that same desire to be brilliant ends up in a turnover, they get, you know, chastised, where they said, well, if it had worked out. And, you know, I can make no greater comparison to, you know, early on, and even still today in the career of Steph Curry. Steve Kerr, his head coach, will just throw his hands up in frustration at Steph Curry taking a three-pointer from the half-court line. It goes in, and he just kind of shakes his head because he knows it's a relative bad decision. But it's also Steph Curry, who has gone down as the greatest shooter of all time and will go down as one of the greatest NBA players of all time. But you can still see his coach saying that, by the book, that is a poor decision. And so I think that's what Ryan Warsawski is alluding to. You have young players that are trying to make great things happen. And if, you know, 10 years from now, these guys have proven themselves to be some of the greats of all time, we're not going to have that much of an issue with it, right? We're not going to look at it and say, oh, well, they should never have done that. We're going to get it and say, okay, because of their track record, because of what they've done in the past, we understand why they're making those plays. The issue is that they are not there yet. And so when we are watching these young players be overly zealous with their desire to make something happen, yeah, we see the outcome and it doesn't always end up well. But if in a couple of years, when they're trying to make those plays, it turns into sustained success for San Jose, we're going to understand it. But for the time being, it's more about picking your spots. And if it's a game where you are trailing in the second period, you're having issues with puck possession, you might have to tone it down a bit and be a little bit more opportunistic and a little bit more patient, as opposed to just trying to make something happen, pedal to the metal all the time. I get it. I understand why it's occurring. It's just a matter of knowing when to do so versus knowing when not to do so. Warsawski was asked about Macklin Celebrini now through six games, and he sees the talent, but he also sees the need for improvement.
Yeah, he does some good things with the puck. There's still some learning curve he needs to understand of the little details and the puck play and getting into 50-50 races and winning pucks. But he's done some good things with the puck. I think he's still trying to find his way a little bit in the same time, but he's obviously going to be a special player.
And I think Ryan Warsawski is probably telling him that when there were a few situations where Macklin tried to skate through multiple defenders. And, you know, one time it did create a shot opportunity, and a couple other times he gave it away. But I think that you have to look at that from a coaching perspective and say, okay, this is a special player. I see what he's trying to do. And Ryan Warsawski's job right now is to show Macklin when he should be able to be trying those, when he should know better to not make something like that happen and forcing the play, when to go to his teammates, when to be careful with the puck. I understand the desire for Macklin Celebrini. He has a level of talent that is not seen very often in the NHL. He's young, he's explosive, he's fast, he's learning. He thinks he can do anything. I love the fact that Macklin Celebrini thinks he can do anything. I love the fact that Macklin Celebrini is trying to make things happen. The problem is, when you juxtapose those with the other deficiencies of San Jose, when they don't pay off, it has the ability to hurt you. And I don't think that's something that he should be made to feel bad about. I think that's just a reality that Macklin Celebrini needs to understand about where he is at right now and what where the Sharks are at right now. Your gameplay and what you do is directly tied into what is going to happen to your team and what is going to happen to the outcome. And when to pick your spots at a deficit, when to play that way when you're in the lead, when to play that way when it's tied, it's understanding that. Connor McDavid now at this point can do whatever he wants at whatever time of the game, and he's going to give you an incredible performance night in, night out, unless he's hurt. That's, you know, where we saw Sidney Crosby previously. That's where we've seen, you know, other great players in this league. Right now, it's Macklin Celebrini figuring out how he can be the best player for his team at this moment in time, and for a young, special player, as he is designated by everyone, he's still figuring that out. And I do not have an issue with his desire and his drive to make something happen. What I do take umbrage with is that he needs to be better at picking his spots. And that's not, this is not some overwhelming criticism of him. It's just where the Sharks are right now. Puck management and patience are going to go a long way for this team, especially when they are capable of giving up the puck and getting pinned in their own end and not being good enough on the offensive side of things. All right, we are out of time. I will be back with you on Saturday as we get ready for Pittsburgh. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.